Welcome back to the Mark Steiner Show. I'm Imani Spence, producer for the show, and I'm here with the newly named editor-in-chief, Brandon Soderberg, for City Paper. How are you, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. So this week's issue is the travel issue.
Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, another theme issue. This time the theme was travel as we move into the spring, a City Paper version of a travel issue. So a bunch of, I guess, basically some essays, some personal political essays by a few of our contributors. Andrew Holter, who wrote a really wonderful cover piece about the history of Nazism in Baltimore earlier this year. He has a piece that draws parallels between Glasgow, Scotland, and Baltimore. Beyond, you know, we have the William Wallace Braveheart statue in Druid Hill Park. But beyond that, there's a lot of kind of parallels between them as cities. We both have arguably impenetrable accents, for one. And even like the idea of Druid Hill Park, there's a lot of these kind of almost misremembered, misinterpreted Scottish things that Baltimore's kind of scooped up and stuck into our names of streets, that kind of thing. So Andrew kind of goes through that and discusses that and has experience in Glasgow himself. So that's an interesting piece. Nia Hampton wrote a really incredible and really affecting piece about being from West Baltimore and traveling around the world and kind of finding parallels in other places she's visited between Baltimore and those places. Currently, she's in Columbia.
Yeah, her mother's on a show yesterday talking about art equity, so it's kind of cool to have two different generations.
Yeah. And the essay by Nia kind of explores the idea of a quintessentially black city, and the sort of subhead of it, which is her great line, was, you know, I'm from West Baltimore, so I can live everywhere, anywhere. And she talked also, it's a little bit about her father as well. It's a really amazing essay, and she just kind of locates these the idea being that if you understand West Baltimore, if you come from there, then you can go around the world and often find the true spirit of a city, and also side-eye some of the more gentrification elements of cities. It's happening all around the country, all around the world, I should say. Attorney Todd Oppenheim has a really great kind of op-ed about, he went to North Dakota during the pipeline protests, and so he wrote a op-ed that's namely about, again, about bail, about what the charges the police use to keep people or punish people. Specifically in this case, it would be trespassing. But he also draws a lot of larger parallels between the way that the Native peoples in North Dakota are treated and African Americans are treated in Baltimore. It's a really nice piece, and it kind of all hinges on this idea of like how a lot of protesters got hit with these really vicious trespassing charges that really do add up and can be really bad. It kind of ties to bail reform in this country, as in this city as well. And then Baynard Woods, our editor at large, is writing more about weed. We had our weed issue last week, but we're still thinking about weed a lot. And he penned a kind of travel guide for weed, just like how to handle yourself, how to get weed, maybe that kind of thing, in other cities, including DC, where it's ostensibly legal. Portland, where it's ostensibly legal. And then he also talks about Denver, where it's ostensibly legal. Yeah. And then also Barcelona, Spain, which he kind of sees as almost like a future model for a lot of cities. You know, the mayor is kind of Barcelona comes out of Occupy, which is something Baynard's noted as in other pieces he's written. And just in general, that Barcelona seems like a model for where we're all going. So it's kind of a weed head fiend's guide to traveling.
That's awesome. I think that would be really cool. And I know that the piece I'm most interested in this week is Mara Callahan's piece on the Kusama Infinity Mirrors exhibit, mostly because I, like many other people, have not yet been and probably will not be able to go.
Right. I think Mara was really able to get in because of a press pass, which was nice for her. But yeah, she wrote about if you haven't seen this exhibit or haven't heard about it by name, you've definitely seen it on your Instagram, which is, there are endless people taking these selfies in these sort of crazy, kooky, mirrored rooms. And Mara wrote a really great piece, and it's called Infinity Mirrors. And Mara wrote a really great piece about the exhibit and kind of also about selfies in general, and kind of trying to break down this idea that somehow taking a selfie or that kind of thing, puts a barrier between you and the experience. And specifically, there's a really interesting, I haven't seen this either, but I really want to even more after Mara's piece, because she kind of describes you're basically only allowed in these rooms for maybe 30 seconds or so because there's such a long line. Mm-hmm. So you sort of ushered in this room with a group. You stand there for 30 seconds and someone's like, all right, you're out, next room. And Mara kind of talks about how like you're kind of get lost in this room for those 30 seconds because the mirrors and the way it's all designed is kind of made you makes you feel infinite in a way. And then there's obviously the maybe the selfie takes you out of that. But Mara kind of talks about how the selfie is a part of that experience, kind of defends the selfie, which I think would be good because I think a lot of art critics are snobby jerks who don't like selfies or whatever.
I'm glad that I am not an art critic who does not like selfies. I really do love them. But also, we are celebrating your new appointment as editor-in-chief.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. So do you have any thoughts about that? Are you still, like, kind of dealing with the newness?
I mean, I'm dealing with it now that people know officially. You know, I've kind of been editing the paper since Karen Hooper, the last editor, left in January. Mm-hmm. So I've been the interim editor, which ostensibly means the editor's not officially. Or, like, that was my trial run to see if I... The building didn't burn, you know, the papers all came out on time. I guess I know what I'm doing. And I learned a ton from Karen as well as Baynard Woods from the paper and Evan and Lee Gardner, the previous editors before Karen. I'm excited. I kind of know what to expect when I'm staring down. My speech right now is that we need to make papers like the City Paper, alternative weeklies, like more part of the conversation. So many of the problems and issues allegedly with covering politics locally or nationally come from this idea of like it's run by coastal elites, by people who don't know. Well, alt weeklies in all of these cities are great examples of how to solve that problem. It's generally people obsessively dedicated to covering the ins and outs of their cities. And so I would like to kind of frame City Paper, hopefully. I think we proved this during the uprising, especially that there's a really important, very specific thing that an alternative weekly can provide, what advocacy journalism can provide, especially under Trump. And so I'm hoping that we can keep doing that. And I'd like to show everybody why that matters more.
Yeah, I think that's really cool because I remembered that, like, you remember that trend in media with hyperlocal, with like AOL's Patch, which being, I guess, the forefront of that. I remember kind of thinking, like, don't we already have alt weeklies that are essentially, in a lot of ways, pretty local, right?
Yeah. And like this phrase we've had at the paper was kind of, that Baynard kind of coined, was that we were militantly local. And in some ways, the papers shift away from that, you know. We went to the RNC last year. Joe went down to Orlando for the Pulse shooting, that kind of thing. But, you know, and that all starts again with when this very national story, which were amid a 2-year anniversary of the uprising, happened. It kind of focused us. But, you know, that was an interesting moment for us. And it seemed to me that so many of the questions that these mainstream publications like the Times or whatever have right now, like, how do we keep going if, like, this maniac's in office who, like, denies us access, doesn't give us... Well, I've never had access. You know, I don't get calls back from the police about things or, you know, we're not... The mayor doesn't... The former mayor especially didn't always invite us to press conferences. So the kind of concerns about access and how do you cover something and how do you cover something that's so unprecedented and new, well, we've kind of always been the underdogs or, like, I like to think, like, the rats at the bottom fighting it out. And so... I think we're equipped to handle Trump in a way that maybe all these other places, instead of, you know, ignoring us, they could at least steal some moves from us.
That's awesome. Well, we're very excited to see City Paper going in this direction.
We've always
been excited from Karen, now you. It's going to be great. And so I was talking to Brendan Soderberg, editor-in-chief of City Paper, and I'm Imani Spence, show producer, and have a great day.
Thanks.
Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our production assistant is Nadia Ramlagar. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. And our intern is Morgan State senior Michael Dixon. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Please send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. If the podcast is Steiner Show and share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcast app. Your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.